Broadcasting from here at the KPBS studios in San Diego, where the talk has been of the drought and whether or not the football team, the Chargers, will leave in a huff and go to L.A. And how about that former Marine who broke a world record by holding the plank position for 5 hours, 15 minutes and 15 seconds? He was raising money for wounded vets. Well, some of these issues reverberate way outside of San Diego, so we want to bring in a group of top journalists in the area to talk about them. Mark Sauer is host of the KPBS Roundtable, which airs every Friday at noon. He's here in the studio. Mark, great to see you.
Great to be here. Thank you.
And Scott Lewis, editor-in-chief of Voice of San Diego, a website that covers the city. Scott, I know you were impressed by that Marine and that plank.
I was. It sounds like torture.
Wasn't it amazing?
I can't imagine it. Yeah. I'm honored to be here. Thanks.
It's nice to see you. And Lori Weisberg, a reporter for the UT, the San Diego Union Tribune. We are reading it every day. We've got it right here. Lori, thanks for coming in.
Thank you.
And let's start with the trout on the cover of Lori's paper here. We've got this report that came out yesterday from the State Water Board. Numbers out for April. Urban areas across the state, Mark, cut the water use by 13.5%. Now, there is a statewide 25% cut mandate, so they didn't make that. But that sounds like a good start. However, here in San Diego, there was a goal of 16% reduction. The numbers for April down just 4%. It's just started, but what's your take on that?
Well, we didn't get there in April, and April was a warm month. March was warmer than April. May, we're kind of looking forward to it because we had our normal May gray came back with a vengeance. We actually had a 2-inch rainstorm in some parts of the county, which is extraordinary in May.
Now, explain that. May gray, June gloom.
Yeah,
and this is the time of year where it does get wet.
Exactly. And it, very briefly, the low pressure comes in off the ocean, the desert heats up, and we get this kind of overcast weather normally. Last May, we had a week of Santa Ana winds and 9 major wildfires. So this May was very welcome for all of us. We think those figures would be a lot better in May.
Yeah, and Scott, your thoughts. I mean, and explain to people listening across the country, it is stunning to me to see. I know we're going to get to the fact that some people aren't paying attention to this, but I can't believe how many people are and what they're doing.
Oh, yeah. I mean, I tore out my lawn. A lot of people are you know, I yelled at my kid for not getting in the bathtub with the other kid. I mean, people are really focused on this. But there is something interesting happening in San Diego. We have a desalination plant coming online in the fall, and that's actually going to make it so that we have more water than we're even close to being able to use this year, because we're going to have 99% of the water that we need. And we're going to have to actually cut our use by 25%. And so we're going to create this expensive desalinated water from the ocean, and then we're going to have to store cheaper water that we import. And then that water is likely to evaporate at a pretty significant rate from some of the reservoirs. So we're kind of stockpiling now, although we don't have a very good system of storing that water. So,
well, and by the way, when you say from the river, is this the you know, Colorado River water?
Yeah, we get most of our water from the Colorado River and from Northern California. And so what we've been focused on in the region for the last two decades is to diversify that portfolio so that we never find ourselves like we did in the early 90s, facing a potential 50 or 60% cut in water use. And so we've been really obsessed with that diversification effort since then. And that's actually produced now too much water in a weird way.
Well, Lori, take up to what I think I'm hearing here. Okay, great plan, according to many, to have this desalination plant. But I'm hearing you say that there's going to be kind of a problem initially because water might evaporate that's being held.
Yeah.
Yeah. And so, Lori, this is factoring into something I feel I'm hearing from a lot of people just out on the street. There's a little bit of a making up this up as it goes along. For instance, people who are ripping out their lawns and putting in new water-free or, you know, less-use water lawns have to water those lawns more initially. And so there's a lot of confusion about, will I get credit for that, or am I going to get penalized for that?
Well, right. And I think we're all kind of struggling to figure out how we can do better, what we're going to get credit for, what we're going to get penalized for. And a lot of us, I know I've always really conserved water. I see in my own condo association where I live, I'm the lowest, you know, user of water, but how am I going to do it more? I'm really curious to see how the summer season's coming, the tourist destinations, the hotels, the theme parks. That's when the water use is really going to ramp up, and they're going to really have to work hard to lower their water
visitors
use.
Visitors in your own house. We get all sorts of tourists that love to come to San Diego. I just had my sister and her husband here, and I'm thinking, wow, they just took all those showers and shot my water use for me.
Well, on that point, we are visitors. I've lived in the state, but
I hope you're not using any water.
Well, but nobody's asking me not to. In other words, I said to your mayor the other day, Kevin Falconer, be tougher on guests. Yeah. Be tougher in the hotels. Scott, thoughts on that?
Well, yeah, I think what we're seeing is kind of a forced prioritization. Nobody's going to Nobody's going to, you know, die of thirst. There's the what we're seeing is a comprehensive look at everything that we're using water for and whether it's the right use. And so I think that, you know, nobody's going to go without. But there is going to be some big changes about just how we think about it. And I think that's important to have that conversation.
Well, I want to turn to the other topic that is just all over your paper, Lori, and everybody's talking about it, the Chargers. I remember we were talking on Monday with your mayor, again, Mayor Falconer, about whether the city can convince the team to stay. I mean, the point is that the team is negotiating for a new stadium, and a lot of people don't want taxpayer dollars to go that, and the team is also flirting with L.A. So let's listen to what Mayor Falconer had to say.
It's important to keep the Chargers right here in San Diego where they belong, but it has to be a deal that's fair.
Well, and how are people feeling about the deal? Because officials met with the Chargers yesterday.
That's the problem. I mean, I know we're in negotiations, but all along, even before the negotiations started, you're getting the sense that the Chargers aren't into San Diego. They continue to very aggressively pursue their dealing.
Oh,
Carson.
They're just not into San Diego. It's like a dating.
They're into San Diego for being here as long as they have, but the deal just doesn't seem to be winning them over, but that could be a negotiating stance. There is public money involved, but they will always argue that it's not enough public money. It depends on the sale of land. They don't think that's going to happen. So they have, I think there are concerns about that deal from their point, and yet they're going full steam ahead with Carson.
Well, and Carson's the city
and the
outside
suburb
LA.
Of Los Angeles.
Yeah. Well, you took a look at across the country how this is resonating. What'd you find?
Well, we're finding that since the recession and since the economy's recovered, there's been more in the larger cities. There's been much more privately financed by the teams. But you're seeing that in the larger cities where it's more lucrative to have the stadiums to get the personal seat licenses and the revenue from well-heeled corporations. So San Diego might be returning to a time, if this deal went, to a time when public financing was more prevalent. But in recent years, you're seeing them more privately financed in New York, San Francisco, and now you're seeing privately financed in Los Angeles.
Yeah, it's kind of funny. Imagine a corporation not only asking for a giant $500, $600, $700 million subsidy, but then being mean about it too. You know, you'd imagine they'd be really like nice about it. You know, they'd be trying to pitch us, trying to sell us on it. In fact, they're saying, look, that's not nearly fast enough. You got to get us the cash faster, show it quicker.
Well, they have a January deadline to make this decision. But
well, and I think that San Diego fans who want to keep the team, their best hope might be that the NFL backs off the gas pedal in Los Angeles and says, okay, you know, we've waited so long to have a team in LA, we can wait another year, and then maybe San Diego can put something together that's more attractive to this team. But the team has made it clear that there's a race to LA and they want to win it.
Yeah, Mark Sauer.
One simple telling point to me was the mayor comes out in the task force and they lay out this whole plan with a great fanfare, and the only real public response from the Chargers within 48 hours is that we just hired this former 49ers executive to streamline our deal up in Carson. That was pretty much a sayonara to me.
Yeah. Well, Lori, we got a couple minutes left here. We want to ask you about something else you can't help but notice when you come here, SeaWorld. Of course, one of the most iconic places in San Diego, along with the world-famous zoo. Attendance, though, down after that documentary Backlash, which is critical of the way orca whales are treated. I'm sorry, Blackfish, which is critical of the way orca whales are treated. There's a SeaWorld ad campaign right now. I see it in your paper every day. Huge ads striking back at the accusations that PETA, animal activists, make about SeaWorld. So what's your sense here? Because SeaWorld also, I see every day, they're saving sea lions.
Yeah, that was kind of propitious timing for SeaWorld because there has been a continued backlash, but they've gotten a lot of positive press for the continued sea lion rescues, especially with the oil spill. But their attendance and revenues continue to decline. Their last quarter earnings were a little better, but we're still not going to know until the summer months. You're seeing the park in Orlando. Maybe that's just kind of switching gears. They just announced kind of the biggest, baddest roller coaster because they're going to compete in that market, which was very competitive. So you're wondering, are the SeaWorld parks trying to divert attention from the killer whales and showing, look, we have all these other wonderful attractions? But in San Diego, they're going ahead with a $100 million project later this year to double the SeaWorld tanks for the killer whales.
Well, I don't know, Mark, do we want to be that? That's the way many people are looking at it. They're just saving these sea lions, both the ones that were caught in an oil spill and the pups that have been beaching themselves because there's not enough food in the water. We've done stories on that, and the SeaWorld has been working to save them. But is it cynical to say that they're just doing that to offset the bad headlines?
They have an enormous challenge. They have all of these headlines, this documentary as you're talking about mm-hmm. here. They're in a competitive market to begin with. They have to justify their environmental imprint, I'm trying to say, mm-hmm. over at Mission Bay. So in normal times, they have marketing challenges, and this one has just thrown them a ringer.
Well, and this is something that people across the country are paying attention to. When they travel here, some people make their decisions on where they're going to go based on questions just like that. So we'll continue to watch that. Mark Sauer, host of the KPBS Roundtable, which airs every Friday morning. Scott Lewis, editor-in-chief of The Voice of San Diego, a website that covers the city, and Lori Weisberg, reporter for the San Diego Union-Tribune. Lori, Scott, Mark, thank you so much.
Our pleasure.
And you live in a great city.
Yes, we do.
Yes.